Suncast is brought to you by SunGrow, providing clean power for all. Suncast is also brought to you by Trina Solar.
There's a perception of a either or. You're either in a fossil fuel camp or you're in electrification, and that there is one technology solution that is going to get us there. And I think the transition, especially when we think about cumulative emissions, that piece of it is going to require everything. And where we can make progress, you make it. And I think that that's something that we have to consider is like, don't decommission gas too soon if you aren't ready yet.
Hey there, solar warriors. I'm Nico Johnson, and this is Suncast. Each week, I pull back the veil on the life and business insights of clean tech entrepreneurs building the most noble and impactful companies of our time. I hope what you learn from this conversation is a catalyst for your own growth. So thanks for tuning in and welcome to our tribe. Welcome back to the Power Up Live stage presented by CPS Americas. I'm your host, Nico Johnson, live here in Boston at Power Up Live RE Plus Northeast. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Caroline Hahn, the head of gas network strategy and planning for New England at National Grid. Caroline, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the stage.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
I think that there is so much to take into consideration, but generally speaking, a lot of folks, maybe I'll start with this at the outset, because broadly, we want to talk about the process of decarbonization of the heating complex, in particular here in the Northeast, which is quite different from our friends out in California or the Southeast, even where I live. There's a lot of infrastructure we have to take into consideration. But I do think that at a 30,000 foot level, there's this perception of this dichotomy, either or, right? And as you rightly said before we hit record, in the energy transition, there is no on-off switch to sort of move into. It's not walk out of one room into another. Could you talk about how you think about the strategy around electrification broadly and decarbonization of the grid from the perspective of National Grid, one of the largest utilities in the Northeast?
Absolutely. So I think it helps to give a landscape of really who are our customers and who do we serve. So at National Grid in Massachusetts in particular, our gas customers are residential customers, moderate low income customers who have very old housing stock.
Yeah.
And they're served on a gas network that is the second oldest in the country. You know, we're replacing pipe that's over 100 years old. And so there's a lot going on there. The houses can be radiant heat. They're not necessarily always set for electrification immediately. And there is a perception that instead of just replacing this pipe on a certain street, we might actually be able to just electrify. And I think there are incredible opportunities to do that, but there are also challenges as well. And it takes a very thoughtful approach when we think about what a customer might need to do in order to actually make that leap from, you know, a gas boiler to air source heat pump or potentially geothermal pumps.
Yeah. You talk about gas as a heat source, as a fuel, but there are other generation fuels in the mix. Could you talk about the mixture that you all have within the Nat Geo territory, the Nat Grid territory, that you have to consider that goes into that housing stock and even how folks are currently heating their homes? And I'd say maybe even touch on some of the inherent friction that we're going to encounter when we do think about electrification and decarbonization of the heat source.
Absolutely. So there are still, while we have 40% of our the residents of the state are heating with natural gas, there's still a tremendous number of people who are still on oil heating.
One
particular area. And those people generally have a sense of, when my boiler, my system goes out, I would like to convert to gas. That is driven largely by price.
Right.
But it is certainly something that, kind of looking on the near-term horizon,
People
say they're not necessarily replacing like for like for oil, But they would like to convert over to gas and be able to say, I can keep some of my equipment, I can still do radiant heating,
sure,
but I don't have to do a full retrofit of my house, it's just the heating system.
Hey, if you're looking for a way
to maximize the ROI for your next utility project, I would like to point you to Sungrow's new SG4400 modular inverter. This new innovative solution will reduce capital and operating expenses because it arrives already on a skid with a step-up transformer. It's built using four 1100 kW modules so that if one of them fails, well, the other three keep powering right on through, as the DC and AC protection are completely separate between the modules. You can learn more about this fantastic new product and more at mysuncast.com/sungrow.
So you've got gas, you mentioned radiant heating, and oil. Are there other types in the mix?
So there's still customers who are heating with wood.
Wood?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, still, they're building campfires and...
Well, less so.
But, I'm from South. You got to break it down.
Wood pellets. Okay. Wood pellet stoves that people use, as well as propane as
and
well.
Okay.
And we find that sometimes propane is there until... You know, they're waiting for gas expansion.
Okay.
Which, to be fair, is really not happening very much anymore.
Right.
Because
the gas expansion would be the lines getting to their community, for
example.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So in many cases, that may not happen anymore because
We
really are thinking about how do you plan for this? What do we need to be? What do we need to be thinking of? If you have a dollar to invest in infrastructure and energy infrastructure, where are you going to put it to best serve the customer's need?
Absolutely. So you mentioned radiant heat, which I love. I think it's the most, I personally think that radiant heat is the most warm, room filling heat. And there are different ways to go about it. But certainly heat pumps are not only being incentivized now, but they're kind of all the rage, as it were, because of their efficiency and the ease with which you can retrofit. And I like to think about from a homeowner perspective, and we'll get into businesses as well, but I think from a homeowner's perspective, a lot of folks can put their wrap their head around an AC unit, or they can wrap their heads around a roof. So roofing, like for like, it would go with a shingle, and they would put on more shingles. And there are systems that are perhaps more durable, like a standing seam metal roof, but which cost more, and which they're kind of waiting until, like you said, the life cycle of the shingles wears out. Can you talk to me about how at the utility you think about the strategic planning process to incorporate those customers, to bring them along this journey of decarbonization and help not only get them on the path towards the right types of equipment, but there's a mindset that comes along with it.
So I think it first starts with education. And we're in early days of this because right now, I think a lot of consumers and customers are thinking about price points.
Mm-hmm.
So first, they'll be considering what's it going to take to electrify my home and retrofit it. So it's certainly when it comes time for that life cycle change out, that's when we really want to be out there educating to say, what are your alternatives? What could this do? And then, we have to be looking at, so we think about what customers are taking advantage of energy efficiency programs already, and how can we use that to market? Because it's incredibly important to make sure that the first thing you do is that you close your building envelope.
Yeah.
And then, we say once that's there, what does that mean, frankly, for our gas system too?
Yeah.
And what we're thinking about these targeted electrification pilots where we have the gas segment on that street might need to be replaced.
Right.
It's old, it's leaky, you know, customers are complaining about it. It's time for it to go. So what at that point in time, where our pilots are contemplating, how do we actually do the customer outreach there to educate the customers on the benefits of electrification?
Yeah.
Certainly, some of the things we might see is that there might not be infrastructure required.
Yeah.
Which is great. Nobody likes that.
Yep.
Dig up
no
my road.
No bonds required.
Yeah. And then really providing the right incentives to kind of help the customers over that hump of being able to understand what it might take to... Okay, so maybe it's time for my system to go, but I'm also going to maybe do the ductwork and install mini splits
right
at the time or something.
Well, in that example, these pilot programs, the useful life of the gas distribution network is nearing its end. And you're thinking of either decommissioning or ripping it up altogether. Is it a situation where you pull those pipes out of the ground?
Unlikely to pull them out of the ground. What that tends to do is it can actually disturb other underground infrastructure and cause it to break. So we just shut the valve.
Yeah, so you're going to shut that off. And what that effectively means is the gas furnace is going to need to be retrofitted into something else. But also appliances like our coveted gas stoves.
As well as hot water heaters.
Hot water.
Fireplaces.
Even dryers. Yeah.
Everything, really, yeah. that runs off of
fireplaces.
Gas.
I'm thinking about, I live in North Carolina. I have a gas range. I have a gas fireplace. My neighbors all have gas outdoor stoves.
Yeah.
Right? That they've piped in off of the existing gas infrastructure. You mentioned propane, which we like to think of as the lowest carbon natural gas, but it has its own system of delivery that is carbon intensive. So there's a lot of work that goes into getting our nation electrified.
Yeah.
The question on many people's minds, and to that point, again, of switching like for like or waiting until you can sunset an asset that you've invested in, that's a roof or this appliance. How do we really get it to the point where we could talk about affordability for these homeowners? And how does that work within the context of your energy planning infrastructure?
It's a great question. I think what it takes is actually a lot of sharing across utilities to understand, and really data sharing on your customers.
Mm.
To understand really what is their predictive propensity to potentially adopt new technology.
Mm.
So if I'm looking at a gas system and I've got pockets where I'm going to need to replace these set of streets in the next 10 years, let's call it that. Same time, I want to look to see where is that electric system overlap? Where do I have capacity and where do we not? Because you need the hosting capacity to be able to do it. You overlay those two, you can come up with the pockets of where it makes logical sense to go ahead and say, you know what, let's not replace that gas. Let's look at these areas and say, can I take that money and maybe push it to customers to actually get them to think about, to defray the costs of electrification for them? Or can I invest that in the electric infrastructure to increase the capacity?
Hmm.
And right now, when we think about the capacity, it's, you know, in many cases, it's already overloaded. We're thinking about electrification of transport, what that means. So adding heat onto it is a huge build. But in some cases, you still have pockets. And I think it's important for us to think about how do we go ahead and start that process.
It's probably fair to say that every sector in the U.S. solar industry is anticipating the emergence of truly domestic U.S. module manufacturing capacity over the coming years. But for Trina Solar's customers, that wait is over, as the new 5-gigawatt facility in Wilmer, Texas, will soon have U.S.-made N-type TOPCon modules rolling off the line, all while supporting 1,500 local jobs. Just another reason Trina Solar is your trusted partner for Total Solar Solutions. Visit mysuncast.com/Trina to learn more about Trina U.S. manufacturing capacity. Hey, pardon the interruption, but I wanted to just let you know how much of an impact you have on Suncast. Yeah, you. Thank you for clicking play. Without you, this show is just me shouting into the void. But there's still people who don't even know about Suncast. I know, I can hardly believe it myself. But that's where you can help me yet again. There's a simple way that you can show some love and help others discover the show. If you cruise over to www.ratethispodcast.com/Suncast, I'd love it if you would leave a 5-star rating and enthusiastic review. That's possibly the single kindest thing that you could do for me today. So if the show has helped, inspired, or even entertained you at all, I'd love it if you would head over to ratethispodcast.com/Suncast and give me a virtual 2 thumbs up. All right, back to today's episode.
What are the kinds of conversations that National Grid is having as a representation of other regulated utilities? What are the conversations that you're having with the business owners, the facility owners, which candidly, they have a different way than homeowners to both monetize and recompensate that process, but it is oftentimes a bigger capital expenditure.
is. You know, what's interesting, and I would lump into that like landlords
and
renters too, because I think that kind of falls in the same category.
They're businesses, and that, they have larger tracts of property. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think the first discussions we have are with maybe some of the bigger businesses are, what are your sustainability goals?
Yeah.
What are your decarbonization goals? And how can we support you meeting those?
Yeah.
Whether that might be through, in the near term, do we think there might be some low carbon fuels that you might be interested in? Or do we want to think about other technologies for heating and cooling, particularly if it's not air source heat pump, ground source heat pumps?
Right.
And so that's an area. To be honest, there are also, though, reliability questions that they have as well. And sometimes they'll say, you know what, full electrification isn't for me, period.
Mm.
And in that case, then we are really left with an obligation to continue to serve them gas.
Yeah. Are there any other, you know, in a room that is predominantly filled with folks thinking about electrification through solar and battery storage, is there a message from National Grid about integrating those resources? Or along that line, are there things that you find that are common misconceptions from our community that we need to work on? We need to align our interests or our language around better.
Yeah. You know, I think that you spoke about the beginning. There's a lot of this. There's a perception of a either or.
Mm.
You're either in a fossil fuel camp or you're in electrification, or, you know, and that there is one technology solution that is going to get us there.
Yeah.
And I think the transition, especially when we think about cumulative emissions and that piece of it, is going to require everything. All and where we can make progress, you make it. And don't, you know, kind of don't throw out, you know,
the proverbial baby
yeah. with the bathwater. Yeah. And I think that that's something that we just have to, we have to consider, is like, where don't decommission a gas too soon if you aren't ready yet.
Yeah. Caroline Hahn is the head of gas network strategy and planning for National Grid. It truly is not only enlightening, insightful for me, but a joy to have someone from National Grid here on the Power Up Live stage. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hope to have you back soon.
Thanks.
I hope that you got a lot out of that conversation. And if you are looking for more of these, if you don't want to wait until the next one that we publish in the podcast and you're listening in audio format, I encourage you to jump over to our YouTube channel where we've published the conversations that we had live at our Power Up Live stage in Boston. And I would love for you to check it out, and the many other wonderful video format of these podcast interviews that we've published on YouTube. You can search at Suncast Media on YouTube. It's easy to find. If you're looking for any of the resources from any of the shows that we feature here on Suncast, you go to mysuncast.com and click on the episode notes, and you'll find all of our links to the guests for each episode, as well as research that we use to help us prepare for that conversation, just like today. I want to thank the sponsors because they help make sure this show is free to you each and every week. The only thing you've got to pay is your attention, and I'm so grateful we still have it. You can go to mysuncast.com/sponsor and find out more about the wonderful companies who help bring Suncast to you free each and every week. That's also how you could find out ways you could partner with us to reach thousands of solar warriors and clean tech champions twice a week, just like they do. And if you're going to be at RE Plus Southeast or Mid-Atlantic, or if you think we should do a Power Up Live stage at one of our of the other regional shows, well, reach out to me and let's have a conversation. If you'd like to sponsor one of these stages, that also is something that I would love to talk to you about. In the meantime, remember, you are what you listen to. Thanks again for showing up, Solar Warrior. It's half the battle.